And now on Radio 3, it's time for the first episode of a major new series of international significance. The National Theatre of Brent, in association with the British Broadcasting Corporation, presents All the World's a Globe, or From Lima to Cosmonaut, written by Desmond Olivier Dingle and based on the best-selling history of the human race, All the World's a Globe, by Desmond Olivier Dingle. All the World's a Globe, presented by Desmond Olivier Dingle, and featuring the entire acting company of the National Theatre of Brent, Wallace. Episode 1, The Creation.
Daddy?
Yes, Desmond, my son?
Daddy, I cannot sleep.
What is it that ails you, my son, my only son?
I keep seeing the moonlight playing on the ceiling and hear the owls talking to their fellows.
To their fellows?
Daddy?
Yes?
Tell me a story. Tell me the mighty tales of worlds gone by.
Certainly, my son. Picture, if you will, in, as it were, the mind's eye, nothing. No little bedroom, no little pillow.
No little owls.
No little owls. And look, what do you see?
Queen Victoria.
Queen Victoria, yes. She smiles as she passes, but we must travel on. And who comes here?
William Shakespeare.
He offers you his quill, Desmond.
Thank you.
And look, who is this who passes?
I do not recognize him.
Michelangelo, Desmond.
Michelangelo Buonarroti?
That's right, Michelangelo Buonarroti. And look!
The man in a long white bath towel handed me his scroll.
It is the Greeks, Desmond.
Thank you, the Greeks.
But tarry not, for we will meet them later. And who is this who comes?
A caveman.
A cavewoman, Desmond. Oh. They looked very similar at the time, but we must travel on. And what is this coming round the bend?
A dinosaur.
Worry not, my little son, it will not harm thee, for it is an herbaceous dinosaur.
Thank goodness.
With its massive body and tragically tiny brain.
Tragically tiny brain?
Yes. Believe it or not, many dinosaurs had brains the size of Brussels sprouts.
And those were the bright ones.
Exactly. And now look.
The earth is empty.
Just a little revolting ball of dead mountains.
Little revolving ball of dead mountains.
Sorry?
Little revolving ball of dead mountains.
Oh, yeah. Little revolving ball of dead mountains. And now what do you see?
Loads of heavenly bodies all whizzing about.
And now what do you see? Sorry, whispers. And now what do you see?
Nothing.
Nothing, for we are standing on the very threshold of creation. Let the universe begin!
What was that?
A big bang.
It certainly was a big bang. Look!
What?
Time is going forward now. The march of history has begun.
It certainly is.
Has.
Has.
And in that re-evocation of my early childhood, the part of my father, Douglas Olivier Dingle, was played by Wallace.
Thank you.
And the part of myself, age 6, was played by myself. Thank you. The history of the human race is one of the most fascinating stories the world has ever known. So sit back now, relax, and see unfold before you the days gone by until today, so that we may truly understand tomorrow. Thank you, Wallace.
Sorry?
Thank you, Wallace.
Thank you, Desmond.
No, the first title, please.
The Emergence of Life.
I'm sorry, isn't that me?
No, I don't think so, Mr. Barker. I think it's me, isn't it, Desmond?
Actually, I think it's me.
It's my main thing, though, isn't it, Desmond? You said? Didn't you say?
I'm sorry, I thought I was doing the title.
No, actually. Just the titles and end credits, Mr. Barker, if you don't mind, and not the internal titles.
Just leave the middle stuff to us, I think, basically.
All right, Wallace.
Oh, right.
Thank you very much.
I'll just sit over here and read my book.
Thank you, Wallace.
The Emergence of a Life.
The first life appeared in the seas.
You don't mind?
Which now cover the entire earth.
He did say, you see.
Well, of course.
Which lasted approximately. So you like reading?
Oh, yes, I do.
You don't just do it for the job, then?
Wallace.
Sorry.
Except for the hills and mountains, which were not covered, fortunately, seeing as the rain stopped on account of gravity. Which was discovered, of course, by Charles Darwin, the celebrated Australian novelist and author of Martin Chuzzlewit. He also discovered relativity, New Zealand, and the bouncing bomb, and his name is remembered throughout Australia in such places as Port Darwin, Little Darwin, and Darwin. So, do you have any queries at this stage, Wallace?
Pardon?
Do you have any queries at this stage of the game, Wallace?
No. I think he was rather interested in what would have happened if gravity hadn't been discovered by Darwin. Weren't you?
Yes. What would have happened if gravity hadn't been discovered by what's he say? Darwin?
Darwin.
Yes, all right.
Darwin,
you.
Sorry.
Well, I think that's a very interesting point you've raised there, Wallace.
Thank you, Desmond.
And basically, without gravity, the Earth would have been just one gigantic sea, Wallace.
Really?
Yes.
So how would have we lived then?
What?
How would have we lived then?
Yes. Good question, Wallace. How would have we lived? We would have all lived underwater, Wallace.
So where does the rain come from, Desmond?
What?
I mean, I know it's from comes from the sky, but is it all up there now, waiting?
Well, I don't know.
I think it's condensation, isn't it?
It's compensation, Wallace.
Condensation. You see, the sun heats the sea and causes evaporation.
Yeah, all right.
Well, I was only trying to help.
Yes, can we just get on, please?
It's interesting, though, isn't it, Desmond?
Wallace, I am trying against all odds.
There's a man with a headphone, Desmond, banging on his window.
Yeah, well, he can shut up as well.
Yes, and you can shut up as well.
Wallace!
What?
He's a BBC sound engineer, Wallace. It is his ever-watchful eye permanently fixed on the lights and dials of his equipment that keeps us on the road, Wallace. We'll carry on now, thank you.
He's gone back to his paper, Desmond.
So it was that life emerged from the sea. The story of mankind had truly begun, albeit as a fish. And so that one heroic fish struck out alone.
A fish?
Yeah, struck out alone.
What sort of fish?
I don't know, Wallace.
Sounds like a red herring to me, Desmond.
Will you shut up, Wallace?
Sorry, Desmond.
Struck out alone onto the primeval landscape. And then, suddenly, something remarkable began to occur. He began to rapidly turn into a lemur.
Man becomes a lemur.
And then, after a couple of years, miraculously, he began to change again.
Man after he was a lemur.
Naturally, he didn't become a man immediately after he was a lemur. In order to facilitate being a man, he became a what first, Wallace?
An ape first, Desmond.
An ape first, Wallace. Which obviously looks a lot more similar to a man than a lemur. In other words, we never look at a lemur and say,
there's a little rudimentary man.
Would we, Wallace?
We certainly wouldn't, Desmond.
Exactly. And so, man became an ape, lumbering through the primordial rainforests with his great hairy body, pointed forehead, and horribly prehensile pumps. But Wallace.
Yes?
I think we've had enough of the rainforest effects now, thank you, Wallace.
Enough of the primordial rainforest?
Yes. They just put the raffia down, Wallace.
Thank you.
But... Wallace!
Sorry, Desmond. Just shifting the primordial rainforest for the,
Will you just get rid of these pots and pans, Wallace, please?
It's the Iron Age armor, Desmond.
But, I hear you ask...
Sorry, Desmond.
But, I hear you ask, if he was, to all intents and purposes, an ape, how come he become a human, like we are today?
If he was, to all intensive purposes, an ape, how become he become a human, like we are today?
For one simple and essential reason. He had a human brain. Where he found it, we are not told. Obviously, we didn't all turn overnight into Miriam Stoppard, probably one of the most brainy people in the world, and one of the most charming, too, if I may say so.
The advent of the brain.
And so it was the advent of the human brain that gave man the revolutionary idea of standing on two legs, thus setting him apart once and for all time from every other living creature on the planet, all of whom have four legs, except for kangaroos and fish, obviously.
And millipedes.
And millipedes, yeah.
And centipedes.
And centipedes, obviously, yeah.
And flies. And
flies.
Blue bottles, birds, octopuses.
Yeah, all right, Wallace.
Spiders, jellyfish, yeah. Seagulls, right, prawns.
Thank you, Wallace.
Snake.
The emergence of civilization.
I do the internal titles, Desmond.
Then get on with it, please, Wallace.
The emergence of civilization.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Will you shut up?
He's a BBC sound engineer, Desmond.
No, that's his bloody problem, isn't it?
But I thought...
And so at last... And so at last, civilization began to emerge. As those first hairy hominids began to venture across the shifting continents of the Earth on their endless quest for those things that we now, of course, take so much for granted. Fire, water, sheep, nuts, mammoths, to name but a few. The only thing there was no shortage of at this time was, in fact, stones, which were everywhere. Hence the title of this age, which was known as the Stone Age.
The Stone Age.
The correct technical or archaeological term for Stone Age people was, of course, cavemen.
Cavemen.
Seeing as they lived in caves, which are generally found in rural areas, such as, for instance, Chislehurst, Cheddar,
Gorgonzola,
and so forth. Cavemen...
Stilton.
Thank you, Wallace. Cavemen decorated their caves with cave paintings.
Cave paintings.
Which were, unfortunately, appallingly unlifelike and crude.
Appallingly unlifelike and crude. The Bronze Age.
And so it was, the Bronze Age also came just before the gradual emergence of civilization, and was also very interesting.
The Iron Age.
Iron Age.
Iron Age.
And then came the Iron Age, which also came just before the gradual emergence of civilization, and was famous for everything being made of iron, generally.
Hello!
Hello!
So how do you find being in the Iron Age, then?
Better than being in the Bronze Age.
Yeah, I hate the Bronze Age anyway.
Yeah.
Iron Age for me!
Wallace!
What?
Could you stop that clanking about, please?
The Iron Age armor!
I know what it is, Wallace, it's just that I can't actually hear myself think.
Shall I get rid of it?
Yes!
It's only pots and pans, Desmond.
Don't give it all away, Wallace.
Sorry. Sorry, Desmond.
You've just got to ruin the entire episode. Thank you, Mr. Barker.
What?
That's the end now, Wallace.
The end?
The end, Wallace.
But it's just been one long introduction, Desmond.
Yes, all right. Thank you, Mr. Barker.
He's asleep, Desmond.
Well, wake him up, then.
Excuse me, end announcement, please, Mr. Barker.
Right. That was episode...
One.
One of...
Just get on with it.
All the World's a Globe.
All the World's a Globe, starring Desmond Oliver Dingle...
Olivier
Dingle and Wallace. Patrick Barlow's book of the same name is published by Methuen and was adapted for radio by the author, with additional material by Jim Broadbent and Martin Duncan. The National Theatre of Brent would like to thank Patrick Barlow, Jim Broadbent, myself, Peter Barker, and the producer, Lissa Evans. Next week, Episode 2, Civilization Emerges. The Egyptian Empire, Cleopatra's Needle, the Suez Crisis. Do you want all this?
Yes, yes.
The Chinese Empire, brain-eating, hydroelectricity, and the Empire of Crete, famed for its olive groves, windmills, and old-world Venetian ports, throbbing with music, art, and romantic nightlife.